Let's open our Bibles, please, and let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're in John, chapter 11, and this morning we'll pick up in our study in verse number 17. So as we begin, let's read together verses 17 down through verse 32. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had together already this morning, the time that we've spent in your word during the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the fellowship we've enjoyed, as well as the music, God, that just turns our thoughts to you. And Lord, we pray that the music and all that's been done in the service thus far would be pleasing in your sight. But we pause once again in the middle of this service, Lord, to just again, just sanctify our hearts unto you, O Lord. We pray that you would just open our eyes and ears, our hearts, to hear your voice this morning. We pray that you would draw each of us to yourself. Please minister to your people, Lord. I pray that you might feed your sheep this morning and that your Spirit would again guide us into the truth of your word. And may all that is said and done throughout the remainder of this service, throughout the whole of this Lord's day, be honoring in thy sight, Lord. Please help us now. Minister to us, Lord. And again, we thank you for being with us today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The trials which come into our lives reveal both what we believe about God and His Word, and they reveal the state or the condition of our relationship with God. When we face a trial, it is revealed whether or not we truly believe the Bible. And those same trials reveal whether we are living in fellowship with the Lord. At the same time, the troubles, the trials that God allows in our lives provide opportunities for the Lord to reveal Himself to us and to strengthen our faith in Him. God does not always prevent trials. God does not always immediately remove us from those trials. But as we go through trials, we gain a deeper and stronger faith in the Son of God and His power to truly help us. And these are some of the truths that are seen in this chapter of Scripture as the Lord used the tragic event of Lazarus' death to teach him, his sisters, their friends, and even us today that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Lazarus' name, again, means he whom God helps. And God was helping this family. He was going to help them not just by preventing sickness or healing sickness, but by giving them the greatest help and helping them to know him in a deep and personal way. Now, for this morning's message, we're going to explore this topic together, meeting with the Master. Meeting with the Master. As we see how Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters, went out to meet the Lord at his coming to Bethany. The things that were said and done in these two separate meetings with Jesus teach us some important lessons about who Jesus is and also how we should respond to him. If a person doesn't know Christ, how they should respond to him, but more specifically, how we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ should respond to his calls and his working in our lives. So let's note these two meetings with the Master this morning. Let's note, first of all, the meeting with Martha, and then secondly, the meeting with Mary. Our first thought is taken from verses 17 through 27, where this lady Martha, Lazarus' sister, comes out to meet Jesus. Verse 17 says, Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. A few days earlier, Jesus had received word from his friends Martha and Mary that their brother Lazarus was sick. The implication of that message was, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick, and we really would appreciate if you would come and heal him. However, as we saw back in verse number 6, when Jesus heard that message, he remained in his same place, which was outside of the region of Judea. He stays there for 2 more days before going to Bethany, where they lived. As in every situation, the Lord knew what he was doing and why. And he had explained to his disciples in verse 4 that Lazarus' sickness was not for the sorry purpose of death, but for the glory of God. The Son of God was going to be glorified through this situation. Jesus was going to perform what was likely his greatest miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead. But again, as seen in verses 17 and 18, now Jesus finally does come. He's waited 2 additional days. Now he's traveled to Bethany, perhaps taking as many as 2 days to get there. But when he does finally arrive at Bethany, which was about 2 miles from Jerusalem, he finds that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days already. And this may imply that by the time Jesus had received word earlier of Lazarus' sickness, he was already dead. But the fact that Lazarus is described here as having been dead for 4 days already is going to emphasize the greatness of the forthcoming miracle. Jesus will not merely resuscitate someone who died only moments earlier. He's going to resurrect someone who had died 4 days earlier. This would be, again, perhaps the greatest miracle that Jesus would perform during his earthly ministry. But also, the fact that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days tells us a little bit about the situation that this family is in. By all account of Scripture, Martha and Mary were very close to their brother Lazarus. The Scripture seemed to imply that all 3 siblings lived under the same roof. How many of you would like to do that? You know, invite your brothers and sisters to come live in your house. You know, I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said, you know, fish and guests in the home are similar in that they, you know, after 3 days, they both stink. And you might agree with that. But that was not the case with these siblings. You see, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, they loved one another. And the fact that Lazarus has died is a very sorrowful situation. They were broken up about it. They were brokenhearted about it. And as described in verse 19, knowing the sorrow of these sisters, many of the Jews from Bethany and Jerusalem, which again was only about 2 miles away, and perhaps some people from other places had come to offer whatever comfort they might give these 2 sisters concerning their brother. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. The Jews typically buried a person on the same day that they died. And so they've been in mourning now for 4 days. 4 days of mourning and sorrow, and these people have come to mourn with them. But unfortunately, like all human comfort, what these people came to offer Martha and Mary fell far short of their deepest need, for only Jesus can give us the comfort and help that reaches the soul. We've no other such a friend or brother. No friend like Jesus who can comfort us. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he calls us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This family was in need. Jesus finally arrives. He's on the outskirts of the town of Bethany, and verse 20 says this, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house." So as soon as Martha hears the news that Jesus is approaching the town, she goes out to meet him. Mary, on the other hand, sits still in the house. This incident seems to reveal the contrasting personalities of these two sisters. Martha seems to have been very active, while Mary seems to have been the more contemplative of the two. Both characteristics are good. Both characteristics are necessary in life and in our service for the Lord. We saw back in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We all have different personalities. We have different characteristics, but our Lord loves us equally. And Martha and Mary teach us that we ought to show our love for the Lord both by active service and by worshiping at His feet and hearing His word. Again, God gives us different gifts, different personalities, but we ought to show our love for Him in the way that God gives us to show Him. A fellow preacher said, "Mary sat still in the house, perhaps a sign of her continued grief, yet showing that she was the passive sister while Mary was the active one. Thus in Luke 10:39, Mary sat at His feet and heard His word while Martha was occupied with the details of the hospitality. It is a question of priorities, and no one should criticize from a personal point of view a fellow believer, whether he be active or passive. We are all different, but the Lord desires faithfulness and sincerity. To do something out of keeping with our character merely because of others, is nothing but hypocrisy." These ladies showed their love and from the heart in the way that God had given them to do it. And the fact is, we ought to worship like Mary. We ought to sit at His feet, and we ought to work like Martha. We ought to sit at Jesus' feet, and we ought to serve Jesus and do it with the right spirit. Verse 21, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." So when Martha comes out to meet the Lord at His coming, she confesses that if Jesus had been there while Lazarus was still sick, he would not have died. Now Martha likely knew that Lazarus had died before Jesus had received the message about Lazarus' sickness. Again, when you run those days in the distance and the travel, it's very likely that when that message had arrived, Lazarus was already dead. And so very likely Martha's words here were not merely a complaint. She's not just belly aching before Jesus. She's not complaining. Rather, while she obviously was disappointed, she felt some regret that the Lord was not there, Martha did show her belief that the Lord could have helped the situation. That is, Jesus had helped many others and certainly could have healed Lazarus of his sickness so that he wouldn't have died. Mary will show the same faith in verse 32. When she comes out and sees Jesus, she'll say the very same words. These ladies teach us something. In spite of their hurt, they maintain their faith in the Lord's goodness, love, and power. It's not like one bad thing happens and they say, "Well, the Lord can't do anything. He can't help us." No, they still believed in the Lord's goodness, love, and power in spite of their hurt and even their loss. And that's a powerful testimony, to walk by faith when you're in a funk, when you can't figure it out, when you don't have the answers, but you just keep trusting. Job did that. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." C.S. Lewis said, "Faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods." Maybe we could put in a little simpler language. Faith is holding on to the truth in the dark, which we received and believed in the light. "Lord, Lazarus has died. My brother has died. But if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." She still believed it. One songwriter put it this way: "Singing, if my way is clear, praying, if the path be drear, if in danger for him call, trusting Jesus, that is all." Verse 22, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. Again, in verse 22, likely speaking more from her head than from her heart, or maybe more out of faith than out of feeling, Martha says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." It seems to imply that Martha believed that Jesus could even now do a miracle. She believed that he could work a miracle. After all, God had raised the dead in the Old Testament. We saw that during the ministries and even after the ministries of the prophet Elijah and Elisha. Jesus himself had raised the widow's son at Nain. And by implication, the scripture seemed to teach that Jesus may have raised from the dead a number of people. If you remember John the Baptist during his bout with doubt, he sends messengers to Jesus and he says, "Hey, art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Jesus performs miracles and then he sends those messengers back to John the Baptist. He says basically, "Go tell him what you've seen and heard. Tell him that the poor have the gospel preached to them, the sick are healed, the blind," this, and he says this in the midst of that, "and the dead are raised." And every one of those things were things that Jesus had done during his ministry, proving that he was the Messiah. So it's obvious that Jesus had raised the dead, and it seemed that it was more than just a one-time event. In any case, this lady believes that Jesus could raise the dead. He could work a miracle even now. And yet, we could also say this, that in her sorrow, though Mary in her head believed that Jesus could work a miracle, in her heart, she did not feel present hope. And we get that by her response to Jesus' words in verses 23 and 24. Verse 23, Jesus says to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Well, as verse 24 describes it, Martha immediately assumes that Jesus was speaking of the future resurrection at the end of the age. Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So in her head, "I know that even now, whatever you ask, God will give it thee. Your brother's going to rise again." Yeah, I know he's going to rise again. Way off there, but not right here where we are. Ever been there? She had it right in her head, but her heart just didn't have that hope. Her spirit was broken. Now, Jesus was not in this situation referring to the resurrection at the end of the age. We'll see that. But though this is not what Jesus was referring to, again, Martha, even in her hurt, maintained confidence in the Word of God. Again, trials reveal what we believe about God and His Word. And this lady's trials revealed that they believed in the power of Jesus. They believed in the truth of the Word of God. And God's Word promises a future resurrection. There will be the first resurrection. That's for all of the righteous at the rapture. There will be the second resurrection for all the wicked dead, taking place at the end of the millennium and immediately preceding the great white throne judgment. But in any case, Mary knew her Bible, and she believed it even in the midst of a very difficult time in her life and family. Maybe she meditated on passages of Scripture like the book of Job. And she's going through trials and difficulties. Maybe she has opportunity, she has that available to her to read the book of Job. Maybe at the local synagogue they had a copy of it if she wasn't fortunate enough to have her own. But Job said this in Job 14, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job believed in the resurrection. Daniel wrote of it in Daniel 12, "At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Again, Daniel didn't draw a distinction between the two resurrections, but it's obvious that there was the truth of a future resurrection, and Mary held on to that, or Martha did. Like Martha, we too may find comfort and hope through the Word of God. The comfort of the Scriptures is the great comfort that we have. It gives us hope. God's Word gives us the comfort and hope of a future resurrection, as we're taught in 1 Thessalonians 4. But verse 25, Jesus says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Though all that Martha could presently see or feel was the resurrection at the last day, Jesus explained to her that he is the resurrection and the life, even in the present day and for every day, the good and the bad. He is the resurrection. It's not that he will be the resurrection. For those who believe in Jesus, he promises that though they may die physically, they will never die spiritually. Believers will never face the fires of hell or the second death in the lake of fire. And furthermore, once we have been made alive or quickened spiritually by faith in Jesus Christ, we can never die. We can never be separated from eternal life or our family relationship with God. In other words, we are his and his forever, never to be separated from him. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In Revelation 1:18, this verse is printed on the cover of our bulletin. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell." Jesus literally is the living one. He is alive. He is the resurrection. He's the one who has power to give life. And he saves from the second death all who believe in him. Verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Seen in verses 26 and 27, when asked whether she believed these things, Martha confessed, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. She believed that he was the Son of God. And as her first word, "Yea, Lord," implies she believed that he was indeed the resurrection and the life. He gives life to all who believe in him. Now Martha, of course, did not fully understand all that Jesus had said, but she knew whom she had believed. If we'll believe who Jesus is, if we believe he is who he says he is, then we can be confident of his words, even though we may not fully understand them. So this is Martha's meeting with the Master. Now she goes away. Verse 28, "When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee." So upon Martha's confession of faith, she goes away. She returns to her house. And she secretly tells Mary that Jesus had come and he was calling for her. If you look down at verse 30, we find that Jesus did not follow Martha into town, but he stays in the same place where she had met him. So Martha makes her confession. Jesus says, "Hey, would you go and tell Mary I'd like to meet with her?" So Jesus stays right where he is, and Martha goes away. And there's a good picture here as we think about the meeting with Mary. The fact is, our Lord waits for those who truly desire him to respond to his call and voice, and to come out from other things, to come out from other people unto him. Jesus did not rush. He was never in a rush. And he did not ever submit himself just to the whims of people. He's waiting. He's calling to see who wants to meet with him. Jeremiah said of the Lord, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Hosea said, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. The Lord stands still. The Lord waits even for his backslidden people to seek him. Say, I'd believe on Jesus if he'd come to me. No, he's calling you to come to him. He's waiting for you. He's already made his move. He's already come to this earth. He's died on the cross. He's risen again. And now he says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Jesus calls us to come to him. Verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. As soon as Mary hears that Jesus had come and was calling her, she arises quickly. She goes out to meet him. Mary responds immediately, without hesitation, without excuse. She responds to Jesus' invitation. That, again, is how we need to respond to our Lord. He's called us. In fact, he's commanded us to come to him. And we must respond quickly. As Christians, we ought to respond and come to the Lord when he's working in our hearts to draw us closer to him. The psalmist said, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Isaiah told us to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, to turn from sin, to turn to the Lord from their sins. And all who have not repented and come to Jesus are living in direct disobedience to the will of God. Verse 31, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now Martha had secretly told Mary that Jesus was calling her. And so those who had gathered at the house to comfort these sisters misunderstood why Mary arose so quickly and left the house. It's obvious in the text. Verse 30 tells us that Mary is weeping. I mean, she, again, is the more contemplative. She's the one that internalizes everything. She's weeping. She's broken up. And these people presume that she is going to weep at the grave because she has gotten up quickly. She just rushes out, still the tears flying, the weeping. The fact is, Mary wasn't going to weep at the grave. She was going to meet with the Master. And yet, verse 31 gives us a good illustration of life truth. The crowd, family, friends, comforters, rarely get it right when it comes to God's people going to meet with Jesus. The world and carnal believers misunderstand and sometimes even misrepresent why God's people meet with him in private through daily prayer and Bible reading, and why we meet with him at church every time the doors are open. But the fact is, the Lord's secret is with the righteous. He calls us secretly. And those who have heard his call come to him, whether or not others follow suit. Again, we need to do as Martha and come to Jesus. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Mary met Jesus, she fell down at his feet and says the very same words as her sister had spoken to him. They very likely had discussed the matter, and both had concluded that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. These sisters shared the same faith. They spoke the same words. And yet Mary very likely spoke with a different tone of voice than that of Martha before the Lord. There's a vast difference in how these two ladies meet the Lord. Again, as verse 33 will show, Mary was weeping, whereas Martha was not weeping, but full of composure as she speaks with the Lord. And also, while Martha, it's understood that she simply stands before the Lord, Mary fell at Jesus' feet. We can't say that either sister was wrong in how they approached the Lord. And yet it's also true that sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his word as Mary was accustomed to doing, definitely makes a difference in keeping a person's heart tender so that they can still shed tears. It makes a difference in a person's reverence toward the Lord, whether it's just cool, casual, approaching the Lord, or coming in reverence and falling before Him. Rather than getting in His face, we'll fall at His feet. Like Mary, with humble and tender hearts, we should come in reverence before the Lord to meet with our Master. Whether in times of sorrow or in times of pleasure, let's hear the Master's call for us, His secret call. And let's quickly leave all else, all other comforters that fail, to meet with our Master. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You do give us help in the midst of life's sorrows and that we have the privilege to meet with You. I pray that we might hear Your still small voice and come to You today, whether it's to come to You for salvation, to receive You, who are the resurrection and the life, and as Christians, to come to You for comfort, to tell You about our troubles, to pour out our hearts before You. May we respond and come with tender hearts and humble hearts. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask You this question: have You obeyed the Lord's command and His call to repent and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you done that? John said this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Have you obeyed that call and that command? If you've never done that, you are, even right now, regardless of how moral a person you think you are living in direct disobedience to the Word of God. Is there anyone here today that would say, you know what, today I am going to obey that command. I'm going to come to Jesus. Is there anyone by lifted hand you would say right here, right now, as best as I know how, I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. I want Him to save me from my sins. I want to come to Him today. If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand straight up into the air and say, today I'm making that decision. All right, Christian, are you in need of the Lord's comforting presence? Are you in the midst of sorrow? Would you respond to His call? His tender, quiet, secret call. Would you come to Him? Would you lay aside other things to diligently seek the Lord with all your heart to meet with Him? Again, Lord, thank You for allowing us to spend this time in Thy Word. Please help us to be doers of the Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.